I have a story to tell you that I hope illustrates where transgendered people stand today in our world. When I was in college, as an undergrad, one of my best friends was a gay man who hadn't acknowledged he was gay yet. To the outside world, he presented himself as heterosexual, and I even attended his wedding, where before that event, I asked him, "Are you sure about doing this, John?" I've changed the names this morning in relaying this story to you. And he replied, "What do you mean? I love Nancy, and she is the perfect wife for me." I said, "Okay, that's wonderful," silently thinking to myself, this could be a mistake. 8 years later, he was divorced and living in San Diego, the first place I landed when I first moved to California from the Midwest, 2 years after he did. We reunited then as best friends again, and this time he was out as a gay man to all of his friends, but not to his employer or his family. He was terrified his family would find out, and my moving there actually presented to him a wonderful opportunity to pretend we were a couple. I was newly divorced and looking forward to a new life in this new state. He took me to office events, and periodically I'd meet him for lunch at work. We knew the relationship was strictly platonic, but I'm sure that his workmates did not. It was the perfect cover for him. So fast forward about a year later, and John's brother and sister-in-law come to visit from Illinois, and they take us to brunch at the Hotel Del Coronado. What a gorgeous place. We were having a lovely time, sitting and talking on the veranda in the sunlight with the beach within view, feeling a nice breeze on our skin, and eating wonderful food. And all of a sudden, John tells them that we are engaged. It's a public place. I'd never met his family before. I covered well, giving a smile as they congratulated us. But inside, I was stunned. I knew the reason why he did it, but at that moment, inside, it made me so angry. You see, John's mother had a brother, John's uncle, who was gay. This was in 1985, and he had died a couple of years previously. His uncle had died never speaking to his sister because 20 years earlier she had disowned him and didn't even attend his funeral because he was a gay man, because he was gay. John was terrified his mother would do the same thing if she found out about him, so he spent an enormous amount of energy pretending. We finished our meal that morning, said our pleasant goodbyes, and got in the car, where I turned to him and said, "What made you do that? How could you tell them we were engaged?" I said, "Tell your brother it will be okay. You need to be who you are." "I can't," he replied. "She will disown me, and I think he might also." "I can't," he said. "I just can't." That occasion changed our relationship. I didn't understand at the time what inner turmoil he was actually going through. That small exchange on a Sunday morning, however, changed our friendship forever. It never was the same for me again. Our covenant of friendship was forever changed. After that, he actually began to ask me on an ongoing basis, "Why can't we get married? Look at the tax breaks we'd get as a couple, as opposed to our single status." I explained to him, "But we aren't even living together." That marriage actually meant something different to me that didn't include false affection. In the next 2 years, my job took me to Sacramento, and I moved with my boyfriend, and we lost touch. I heard from mutual friends in the next year that he did get married, he found a woman to marry, and he could prolong the facade. The equity I thought we had in our relationship became forever changed. I had felt we were on the same page, on solid footing, being completely open with each other and honest to a fault. We had created a friendship that worked very well together. We came from different places, but there was equity in our relationship with each other for a long time. We respected our differences, and our differences complemented each other. It's when we changed that friendship. When John became someone he wasn't to appear to be someone he was not, that changed how we saw each other. I have a seminary twin. That's what he calls us as we went through seminary together, Reverend Adam Lawrence Dyer, who has written extensively on equity, who said, "Equity does not mean equal. Everyone needs something different to make themselves whole. But what unites us as UUs are the differences that we actually need to be together." I love that. We need our differences to be together. 40 years ago, our world was different. Same-sex marriage was not even a thought that could be a possibility. People had secrets that they couldn't divulge without sometimes sacrificing their lives. LBG people had gained more rights, but the T for transgendered are still facing impossible odds. Our laws, our opinions, our treatment of gay and lesbian and bisexual people has improved so much since then. Granted, there are still areas in this country where LGBTQ plus folks will not feel safe, will not be able to openly be themselves. Yet the laws have become more accepting. TV and movies are portraying openly gay and lesbian relationships. We are seeing LBG people living as we live, which they always did, but had to hide. The TV show Modern Family, I think, really started it. Yes, a situation comedy, but for many families, introduced how LBGTQ families are, that they are not different than heterosexual families. The new challenge for our country now is accepting transgendered people for who they are. For right now, they don't have any sort of equality in most of these United States. Trans women of color are reported to be the greatest segment in our population to be killed. Already this year, 24 transgendered people have been reported murdered, according to the Human Rights Campaign Foundation. And those are only the ones reported in this country. 4 out of 5 anti-transgender homicides are trans women of color. From October 1st, 2022 to September 30th, 2023, Forbes reports that 320 transgendered people, mostly women, 73% in Latin American countries were murdered. 94% were trans women or trans feminine people. Most were black, and they report that 80% were killed due to racism. In the United States alone, according to the Human Rights Campaign, 88% were victims of color. 54% were black transgendered women. 47% of the victims were killed by a romantic or sexual partner. 50% were misgendered or deadnamed by authorities or the press. 73% were killed with a gun. They are calling anti-transgender violence an epidemic. Transgender Day of Remembrance short for TDOR, was started in 1999 by transgender advocate Gwendolyn Ann Smith. She created a vigil to honor the memory of Rita Hester, her friend, a transgender woman who was killed the year before in 1998. This vigil was created to commemorate all the transgender people who were murdered since Rita Hester's death. This important tradition has become the now known annual Transgender Day of Remembrance. This year it is tomorrow. Does it feel like equality for transgendered people will never happen? Does it feel like what it felt like for gay and lesbian people 40 plus years ago? How do we achieve equity for transgendered people? Not just equality, but equity. On the Rise to Win website, this is the definition they use. Equality is giving everyone the same pair of shoes. Equity is giving everyone a pair of shoes that fit. They say author unknown. What an appropriate analogy. On the HRC website, they state, for many transgender people, living openly can be its own act of defiance in a society that continues to set rigid cultural norms for gender identity and expression. That is the challenge we face as a nation. People don't fit in one of two boxes anymore. My parents couldn't accept gay and lesbian people during their life here on earth, and I know that to be true in their thinking for transgendered people also. They had rigid definitions of who people were and that those people needed to fall within those parameters or there was something wrong with them. They couldn't or wouldn't change their minds. It was too confrontational to challenge their belief system they had held all their lives. We have a lot of people in this country who think the way my parents used to think. That is the challenge we face in getting equity for all human beings in this country. How to show folks the humanness of each individual we see walking down the street every day. The humanness of folks that we may not agree with. The humanness as a human being to see each other's skills and talents and human failings that we all possess. Equity means what Albert Einstein has stated. Everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. We know people who have done this, made us believe we were less than because as a fish, we couldn't climb a tree. We all have traits that shine. We all have abilities of our own within ourselves that others do not have. But asking others to have this ability when they do not is not equity. It's also not equality. There's a reason we have those three words together in our second principle. Justice, equity, and compassion go together. When we link compassion with equity, we achieve justice. I can look at John now, these so many years later, and I have so much more compassion. I so clearly see his pain and his limitations and the agony he was going through. Equity and compassion give us justice. I repeat, equity and compassion give us justice. As Unitarian Universalists, it is our responsibility to help others in this world understand if people are different than us. Our principles dictate our actions. They define how we want to be. That these principles are the ultimate in human behavior, that we can all aspire to be that kind of human being that espouses our 7 or 8 principles, depending on what congregation you're in, and can model to the rest of our nation that this is equity. This is how we treat other human beings. As Unitarian Universalists, we generally are out in the front, sharing our values and our principles, marching for those whose rights have been trampled on, siding with love with those who still do not have equity. Our transgendered siblings need us right now. It may take another 40 years, but as UUs, that has never seemed to stop us. We need to fortify our courage muscles, for our transgendered neighbors need us to be there for them right now. No one can know what another person is feeling inside. We can never presume we know. We can only use our compassion to understand as much as we can, looking from the outside. My mother always used to tell me that the world would be a really boring place if everyone were the same. That was the only liberal side of her. But it's true. We can help to make this world come alive by strengthening in others what is special about them. That can only make the world a better place. I don't know where John is today. I hope he's happy. I hope he's married a man and lived happily ever after. May we all carry our compassion out into the world this week and strive to understand what others may be experiencing and to be there to create that equity in this world that is so desperately needed. May it be so. Blessed be. And now I'm going to read the names of transgender people murdered in the United States in this last year that were reported on the Forbes list. And they'll also be shown on the screen for those on Zoom. I have also brought a card for each person that passed away and was murdered who was transgendered this year, that you are welcome to come up and take one before you leave today. If someone on Zoom would like them, I will gladly mail you one. And just leave me your mailing address so that I can do that. I've made plenty. Let us begin. Lakendra Andrews, a 26-year-old black transgender woman from Shreveport, Louisiana, was the founder of a nonprofit. According to PGH Lesbian Correspondence, Lakendra was fatally shot on April 29, 2023, in Dallas, Texas. London Price, a 26-year-old black transgender woman, was fatally shot in Miami-Dade County on October 23, 2023. Lisa Love, a 35-year-old black transgender woman, was described as a friend as funny, smart, beautiful, and a breath of fresh air to this world. Lisa was fatally shot on October 17, 2023, while walking home from a friend's house. Dominic Dupree, who was also known as Dominic Palace, was a 25-year-old black gender nonconforming person from Gary, Indiana, who operated companies including Private Protection Division, LLC, and Honda for Lawn Care and Snow Removal, LLC. Tragically, Dominic was fatally shot in Chicago on October 13, 2023. Anae Johnson, who was also known as Anae Roberson, was a 30-year-old black transgender woman from Washington, D.C. Tragically, on October 14, 2023, Anae was killed during an assault when she was pushed into a roadway and hit by a car. Sherlyn Marjorie was a 35-year-old Latina transgender woman and drag performer who one friend remembered as the best impersonator in Tijuana, my second Edith Marquez. She was beloved in her local LGBTQ community in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where she was killed on September 17, 2023. China Long was a 30-year-old black transgender woman and dance choreographer who was shot and killed on October 8, 2023 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Her life was honored by friends, family, and the local LGBTQ community in Milwaukee at the Zao MKE Church. Luis Angel Diaz Castro, a trans man from Puerto Rico, studied at the Universidad de Puerto Rico in Arecibo and worked at the Department of Education. At just 22 years old, Luis Angel was tragically murdered on August 12, 2023 in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Yoko was a talented non-binary artist and DJ. Yoko loved their family and their friends, who remember Yoko as an exceptional, joyful, absurdly talented, and extremely loving and gentle human. Yoko was killed when they were struck and killed by a driver of an SUV on September 19, 2023. Thomas Tom Tom Robertson, a 28-year-old black gender non-conforming person, was working as a cook at a local IHOP restaurant in East Chicago, Indiana, having relocated there from Chicago, Illinois, where he was born and raised. On August 17, 2023, Thomas and a 25-year-old individual were victims of a fatal shooting in Calumet City, Indiana. Camden Ryder, a 21-year-old white transgender man, was 8 months pregnant at the time of his murder, which occurred on July 21, 2023, outside his home in Winter Park, Florida. Camden had recently posted on Facebook about how excited he was to welcome a child into the world. Jacob Williamson, an 18-year-old transgender man, worked at a local Waffle House and was beloved by coworkers and even had moved in with one of them about a month prior to his death. Jacob was killed in Monroe, South Carolina on June 30th, 2023. Chanel Perez Ortiz, a 29-year-old Puerto Rican transgender woman, was a cosmetologist. She was interested in fashion, makeup, and hairstyles. According to PGA's Lesbian, Chanel shared a lot of playful, fun content and clearly had strong friendships with people who were grieving her deeply. Chanel was killed in Carolina, Puerto Rico on June 25, 2023. Ashia Davis was a 34-year-old black transgender woman from Detroit who was full of joy, devoted to her faith, and a loving dog owner to a Yorkie named Clyde. On June 2, 2023, the second day of Pride Month, Ashia was found dead in a Highland Park hotel room. Bonco Brown was a 24-year-old black trans man who is remembered as being brilliant and as someone who made everybody laugh. Julia Arroyo, the co-executive director of the Young Women's Freedom Center, where Brown was working as a community organizing intern, said, on April 27, 2023, he was killed by an armed security guard in San Francisco after an altercation with an armed security guard at a local Walgreens store. Ashley Burton was a 37-year-old black transgender woman who was described as a courageous fighter by her cousin. Ashley was killed in Atlanta, Georgia on April 11, 2023. Tasia Woodland was a black, high-spirited transgender woman who was protective of those she loved. Tasia was tragically killed at St. Mary's County, Maryland on March 24, 2023. Tortuguita, a 26-year-old indigenous, queer, and non-binary environmental activist and community organizer, is remembered as a radiant, joyful, beloved community member who brought an indescribable jubilance to each and every moment of their life and fought tirelessly to honor and protect the sacred land of the Wilani Forest. Tortuguita was shot and killed by Georgia state troopers in Atlanta, Georgia, on January 18, 2023, during an ongoing protest alongside other self-described forest defender protesters. And a GoFundMe started to help cover funeral costs for Shashe Ashanti Henderson. The 31-year-old black transgender woman is described as a bubbly spirit with a down-to-earth, tell-it-like-it-is personality. Shashe was shot in Milwaukee on February 26, 2023. Maria Jose Rivera Rivera, a 22-year-old Latina transgender woman, was described by her immigration lawyer as lively, funny, and dynamic, and a joy to work with. On January 21, 2023, Maria Jose was found fatally shot in Houston, one of two people found dead at an apartment complex in an apparent murder-suicide. On a GoFundMe page for Zake Imanituitaho's funeral expenses, the black transgender woman was described as someone who was well-loved by family, friends, and coworkers, and that she lived her life bravely and authentically. She immigrated to the U.S. from Rwanda and was killed on February 3, 2023, in Louisville, Kentucky, in the parking lot of her workplace. Unique Banks, a 21-year-old Latina trans woman, was killed in a mass shooting along with her mother, Alexandra Olmo, on January 23, 2023, in Chicago. Unique's father, Omar Burgos, said that his heart is torn apart and that he had hoped for her to live with him in Florida. Three other people, including two other trans women, were also attacked during the shooting, leaving them in critical condition. According to local news, Casey Johnson's partner, Bola Brudzinski, remembered her as being kind and caring. The 27-year-old white transgender woman who was killed in Wilmington, North Carolina on January 14, 2023, after being declared missing on January 13th. And lastly, Jasmine Star Mack, sister Pamela Witherspoon, said that Jasmine was a sweet person. She also said that her sister loved to sing gospel songs and was an excellent actor. The 36-year-old black transgender woman who was killed in Washington, D.C. on January 7th, 2023. May we honor all of these people that died for being who they were. And may we strive to do the work that we need to do to help them achieve the equity that we all have in this world just by being who we are. It's up to us to help to change that in this world, in this country, and in our lives. Bless you all. Thank you.